Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Outer Crasp Chip Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and Devin. My brother and co-host. There you go.
My brother Devin. And Devin.
My brother and Devin. What's up, man?
Hey.
All right, Dev, what do you got for us today?
A film is, or should be, more like music than fiction. It should be a progression of moods and feelings. The theme, what's behind the emotion, the meaning, all that comes later. I'll give it to you one more time.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Go ahead. A film is or should be more like music than fiction. It should be a progression of moods and feelings. The theme, what's behind the emotion, the meaning, all that comes later.
So it seems like it's breaking like down a larger thing into its basic parts, right? It should have a rise and fall of emotion. Like you worry about that progression first, like
right?
A song.
And then
everything you fill in, yeah.
And he's also saying, I like the idea. It's more like music than fiction, even though that kind of could be a bit of both. And I don't know the context of the quote, but he's talking about, I think, just the way it hits you, right?
Right.
You got to have some of that before you can add all the stuff in later sometimes. It's a quote from Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, gotcha.
Probably my favorite, one of my favorite directors, because he's very no bullshit.
Right.
Like, he was famously known for, like, not wanting to explain his movies. And they're layers and stuff, and they're deep. And that could be because either the layers weren't there, and he just wanted to do it because it hit him. Like a song. Like, this is working. I don't know why it's working. That's another reason he did so many takes. He didn't necessarily know exactly what he wanted, but he knew the kind of stuff he didn't want. So he'd go over and over and over again until he found something great. So I think sometimes taking the BS out of kind of what you're creating, maybe in the start or in the end, just going with what you like. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why, maybe this doesn't add up, but this just hits me a different way. So I'm not too worried about, you know, all the heavy stuff and the meaning and why and this and that and all these things and themes, but it should just be, it should hit hard on a progression of mood and feelings. Like, it should, what do they give you, the fizz or whatever? What is the regular? Right. You start there.
It gives you the fizz. Yeah.
Right.
I really like that because again, it's like boiling down it all into its like, its basic, your gut reaction. Right.
Right.
Like you said, it gives you the fizz. Like, you don't know exactly why, you just know that it does.
Right.
I think that's a great quote just for us as makers and creatives and people who do things and see things and know there's something that's speaking to you about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, we talked about this tonight when we're starting to film for the Chopper Challenge, and you know, like, I was like looking for reference images and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew what it was when I saw it.
Right.
You know, I was like, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know none of these are that yet until then I saw what I wanted. It was the right proportions. It had the right like feeling to it. The colors, the movement, the, you know, simplicity with the intricacy, everything just kind of hit. And that's the one that spoke to me like a song, right? Like, there's something
right.
That it spoke to me and it could, and that's directly that interaction between me and it. There's nothing else there. You know, like, it's not because it it's the one that everyone likes, you know, or it has the, it's, you know, the proportions of the War Club that we were looking at, which we're referencing, there are tons and tons of different versions of it. Right. And for some reason that one spoke to me, and that one, it may be also that, like, I think that there is a set of proportions that are correct, that I think, and just like in general, right? Like human body, right? Proportions. Right. There are proportions of human body, face shape, body type that is, you know, appealing to babies, right? Because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a general proportion and things that match and come together that feel right. Mm-hmm. So there is something there, right? I think most people can tell when something feels wrong or feels right, but it's all also individual, right? Because someone might like it a little different, and, you know, and this, I keep saying, just like, I'm not saying anything specifically because I think this does relate to all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the way I really like Puukko, the style of the Puukko, this, you know, Swedish or the Finnish knife. You know, it's something simplistic about it. It's the shape, it's the materials, the aesthetic is, it speaks to me. It's my aesthetic, you know, where someone else might really like Bowie knives, you know, they really like the proportion of a Bowie knife and the history behind it. And the story goes along with it, and the shape and the blade and the movement and the weight, you know, like, it's everyone has a different aesthetic and everyone has a different set of proportions that just speak to them in life.
Yeah. I was
Like songs.
And I love the idea. Again, he's so great at breaking it down. He's like, let's just get a progression of moods and feelings.
Yeah.
That's what a great movie is. Mm-hmm. It's pulling you through. Oh, this is great. This is scary. This is exciting. And then later on, you can start to pack it with what's behind it. But it's like, hey, we're hitting the parts we got to hit. This excites right. us, and this is taking us somewhere. Mm-hmm. So just for that art form in itself, I think that's like number one, along with making pretty pictures is right. number one in film, because that's what it is. It's flashing light. Yeah. That's what it is. So you got to start there and don't be lazy there.
Right.
Like you said, there's a set of mathematical composition right. stuff that is just pleasing to the eye. Start there, get that right, and then anything after that you can kind of figure out. But I think you're 90% of the way if you can get it feeling right.
if you can build the composition correctly, like you said, right? Yeah.
And then people can dump whatever else they want into it, and you know.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because then it's just the details, mm-hmm. you know, like the details are there, but you have the right scope and sequence of your art form, whatever it is.
Right, like John Lennon said to a guy who, he's making the Imagine album, and there's like a documentary about it, and some crazy guy sneaks onto his property, or some like homeless young guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and John and Yoko walked out and was talking to him, and he's like, you know, I just thought you're talking about me and my life and all this stuff. And John's like, well, how could I, for one, I don't know you. But he's like, I write songs about myself. He's like, I write songs about whether I had a good shit today. That's what he said to the guy. He's like, and maybe Yoko. Maybe I'll write something about her. But he's like, right. It's not that heavy. Like, it's, I'm just right. I'm just a guy. I had a good shit. It's a good day. Let me write something about it. Like,
you can happen to be a really good, you know, composer of words.
Right.
Like, but that, it's not about, yeah.
Right. It's the, he just know, he got.
I'm not Bob Dylan, jeez.
they'd get into a groove and write a good song. And on personal preference, I was watching stuff. I'm trying to get Dustin to go to Blade Show. So anyone who wants to see Dustin there and us, send something out to us. So we push Dustin to go. this year, but I was watching videos on like last year, and I just wanted to see what the feeling was.
Yeah,
and yeah, there's a lot of videos of guys like going through all these knives and going crazy about knives that I have no interest in or wouldn't like. You know, they're too whatever.
Yeah, right.
Whatever exactly. they are, but they're oh man, I got one of these, and oh, is this a this, and is this a that? Like, how much? Like, okay, 400 for that, three, can I do two for eight? Like, these crazy, and to me, a knife that didn't look, certainly, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I wouldn't want to own that knife, let alone pay a big price for it. But
right, exactly.
These guys were like, oh, I have one of these, I'll get two of these, and just dropping a lot of money on knives. That's but, crazy. I mean, it is a, you know, it's a blade show where you have all these guys they're actually real made in-house, you know, small companies. Some of them, there's huge companies too, but like,
right.
Yeah. You're going to pay for them, but man, right. Like.
But you're talking to the guy, you're buying the experience, you're buying the story, you know, yeah. Yeah, and that, right, that makes sense, right? You want to, you're there, you're talking to somebody, you get to feel it, you hold it, and that's all part of it. You're paying for all that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, all personal preference. So we're going to, I'd like to go, even though watching videos, what they don't show, I think, mainly is people getting together and hanging out. That's what I would be excited right. to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Touring and looking at 2,000 knives isn't necessarily, like 3 days of that, isn't that exciting to me?
Right.
But
yeah.
Just being with a lot of people and meeting people and I don't know, maybe we'll shoot a video or something. I think I need to give myself something else to do.
Yeah.
Maybe shoot a video of us doing something.
Right. Or yeah, I mean, because I love knives and like 3 days of just walking around looking at knives is a lot. You know, like, but there's so many cool people there, so many people we know,
right,
so many people
right.
we've, you know,
right.
maybe just messaged and, you know, there's, so that's the thing, right? It's just same thing with like Maker Camp. You know, Maker Camp is about that experience of being there with all the people and, you know.
Yeah, but at least there you can. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Right, yeah, it's a lot of variety. Right. But, yeah.
And we were talking about Workbench Con today because I was looking into it. I was like, oh, man, maybe, excuse me, maybe we could do that. And I didn't realize it was like this weekend.
This weekend. Yeah, right. You're like, yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's, I heard. Been seeing and people posting about going and stuff.
But yeah, I don't it's know. So crazy expensive.
Yeah, it's super expensive. And what I've heard through the grapevine was like, I don't know. I just heard that it wasn't all that great compared to other events. And I'm sure like, so the thing that would make it interesting to us is that it's all content creators, right? They're talking
right.
about what they do and how they make things. So like, that's where the benefit is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it, like anything else, you just can't really, you shouldn't compare it to other things, right? Because that's not what it's about. It's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's expensive and you know, I've heard from a few different people that last year wasn't that great. And I've also heard that they're going to change up things this year to make it better. So
yeah, and there's a sum of, like, I'd like to hear people talk about things and give tips and, you know, talk about the algorithm and do this and how to make a 10-second video. But also, a part of me goes, like, you know, unless you're the biggest person in the world, like, right. I don't really, I mean, I'll take tips if I know you, but if I don't really know you and or like your videos,
right.
I don't really care what you have to say about how to edit a 10-second video. Like, you know, like, it. Yes, some of those people can get it right, but then also there's people who don't do it right and get a million views, or do right. it right and get a million views. It's just like, it's like so up in the air. It's like teaching someone how to work the algorithm when none of us know how it works.
Right, yeah.
You know, but having said that, I'm not pooping on it. I did think it would be cool to go
right.
until the price is a bit. Yeah. Prohibitive.
Yeah, it's like what, $700 or something for the ticket for the weekend.
Yeah, like woof.
It's crazy.
And that's before a hotel and before getting down there, and it's just
yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I guess I mean what you're paying for is all of the you're paying for the speakers, right? You're putting it's more money because there potentially should be a lot of people there that can really help you out, right? So it's more like a educational conference,
right?
But so that you're like, being said, like that's a ton of money, you know. Like,
Right. It's like going to a class thing for.
Right. But exactly. Yeah. You're taking a class for a weekend or something, you know.
But then you don't want to spend your time taking notes. Like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we got friends who are going down and doing it, and and there's some big names there, but I'm trying to look up the a lot of good people. Maybe that's it. A lot of big names, so people want to go down,
right?
Like talk with them, get to know them, maybe make a connection, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a bit exuberant, you know, to ask to charge that much for a conference.
Right. Maybe they have to pay all the speakers a good chunk of money to go.
I guess so.
I don't know.
I mean, I hope it's something. You would hope it's something. Like, I hope there's a good reason why it's so expensive. I don't know. But just like what I said, like what I've heard through the grapevine is that it wasn't all that great. In years past, especially last year is the first year they've did it since COVID. So,
oh, was it?
Yeah. So maybe it should be better. You know, things will change. I don't know. It's just hard to compare that to something that we know that is like. I mean, the comparison is Maker Camp. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different thing, but it's it's a bunch of cool people that are there that are showing you how to do stuff. Now that's. $200 for the weekend, right? So that's okay. That's $200, but that includes, includes camping. But so you pay $300 or something. You know, that would get your like hotel room for the weekend and a food plan. You know, so it's like kind of all inclusive once you get there.
Maybe it's just a way to like if you're not, maybe you want to connect to some of these people, and then you can kind of pay your way into connect. Maybe. And why is it Georgia? Why is everything in Georgia? Jeez.
I don't know. Yeah, what's up with
that? Like, come on. Yeah.
Blade Show.
We should really have more in Maryland because, I mean, really, that's the center of the East Coast.
I mean, pretty I know, much. Right? Mason come Dixon. On. Right in the
or
middle.
Or Virginia. Like.
Yeah, I know. Make everyone travel halfway.
Georgia everywhere. But, yeah, I don't know who puts it on. Maybe they're like. It costs so much to run this thing and to buy the place and like no one's making any money. Then, I mean, I do get it. I paid $30 at Five Guys for two burgers and a small fry 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So maybe it's just so everything's just expensive.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I still think that's a bit exuberant. You know, like there's a ton of people going there. Like whatever they're doing, they need to do something different to charge less because that's crazy. You know, like. Maybe. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Or I think it is a limited amount of people. Maybe it's like, they're like, hey, we just want, they do call it like an intimate gathering. So maybe they're like, hey, we got 500 people willing to pay either $630 or $1,000. Like,
right.
And that's, we just keep it small where everyone can. Yeah. This one is $989 for the marketing pass.
That's crazy.
Yeah, let me see. It's.
I mean, there's no way I'm paying $1,000 to go to a conference where I might be able to talk one on one with somebody. Hands? You know, you're also going to be you're going to be in there with, you know, say 100 people in a room listening to a talk, or 200 or 300 people. That's what they have. You know, like that's even like Justin Dietrich. You know, last year he was there and he was doing the timber framing stuff, and like he had, you know, in his room it was like 80 or 100 people hanging out. You know. Jimmy did a big talk in a room. He had like 300 people in this giant room. You know, it's not like if I'm paying $1,000, I want to go to a class. It's like me and 10 other guys and the person who's doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. It should be like a legend.
Yeah.
And you get a whole weekend with them, you and them in their shop. Like,
yeah, right. One-on-one. I mean, that's what you do when you take a class and you're working with people, you know, for a weekend. It might be. You know, I don't know, $500, $600, $700, something, you know, you're paying for that. That's paying for their time and tools. And, you know, that's a small group. Like, then you get 100 people and they're all paying $1,000, you know, $100,000. And Orchard Bunch counts 500, you know, like, I don't know. I just think, who knows? I don't know. Hopefully there's a reason why it's that expensive, but to me it's just too much.
I think so, but
who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, if people, maybe that's how people, that's what people want to spend their money on. That's just not what I want to spend my money on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like this. Let's attack some more things. What else can we attack?
It's ridiculous.
That's what people want on podcasts. They want some, did you hear them shitting all over Workbench Con? What's their deal?
And everyone who's going is like, oh, jeez.
I mean, I guess it's a lot, but
it's so worth it.
Yeah, someone's listening to this on the way there. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, right.
You let us, you have a great time.
Yeah, yeah. Prove us wrong. You know, like, that's what we want. That's what, like, you know, if there's a, if you know the reason, if it's 100% worth that money that you're paying, right. Like, all right, cool. Let us know, and we'll come next year.
We'll go.
We'll budget for it.
We'll use our money. We'll use the Patreon money.
Yeah, we won't go to, you know, Maker Camp. You'll miss us there.
I mean, that's like, that's money to buy another camera. Like, that's.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather just dump it back into my our personal channel, yeah, or put whatever it back into the channel.
Right.
Buy
yeah.
buy a $1,000 tool that you never thought, I can't spend that much on a tool. Right. Well, just buy that thing because it's going to be, that's.
Otherwise, yeah, yeah. Either buy that tool that you, you know, you want for $1,000 or you go to Workbench Con for the weekend. I don't know. Yeah. Are you paying for the experience? I don't know.
Like,
yeah.
you could buy a workshop worth of tools for $1,000.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, you'd have almost all your major tools. Maybe not the best, but a couple $200-$300 tools, like,
yeah.
You would have a full shop.
Right. Yeah, enough to get yourself going in any hobby, you know? Mm. Pretty much. Yeah, I don't know, that's tough. All the money is tough, man. Maybe that's just because we come from a background of not having a lot of money. So yeah. It's hard to spend money. You know, I'm like, I don't like to spend money. I just assume it's just not going to be there at one point. And I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have spent that, you know, $800 on that thing or whatever. Like, I don't
know. Buy anything. But, you know, I will say that people... I mean, like some people, that's not a lot to them. Or they go out for a weekend, or maybe they go golfing for weekends, or they go to Vegas with friends and stuff. And you end up spending a lot. So maybe they're like, all right, instead of that, I'm going to go to this thing, spend this chunk of money, and maybe try to improve myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of the same thing that you were kind of hinting at earlier, is like, do I need this information from these random people?
Right.
You know, like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe if we were completely trying to make a living off of YouTube, you know, maybe that we would feel differently about it. Like, what information do we need to make sure we can make this work?
Yeah. Living, you want to really dial it in.
Right. You know, like, I don't know. So maybe it's that. Like, maybe it's, there's some type of conceited nature where I'm like, oh, we have a YouTube and we have a channel. It's doing pretty well. So, like, why do we need to go to this and get this information from other people? You know, like, right. I don't know.
And also, I think it's aimed towards small channels. Because a big channel obviously doesn't need any help.
Right.
And you don't necessarily have to go to those things. So a big channel that already has a million... whatever subs on YouTube,
right?
They don't need it. They don't need, like, making the algorithm work for you, creative ways to monetize your business, like all these type of working with companies as a small child,
yeah,
a child channel.
Small, yeah. You read the things that are there,
yeah, to niche not to niche. All you need is a phone. How to double your affiliate income in a month? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, those all seem like good things.
Right.
It just seems, I don't know. The other thing, too, that I think that this, like, the world of YouTube is so, it's, like, tenuous, you know? It's, like, the balance could tip at any time. It could just be gone.
Right.
You know, so not that I don't wish that it would be awesome and we could make 100% of our living off of YouTube, that's the goal, right? That's what we keep aiming for. It'd be great. You know, if our channel blows up and we make a ton of money, get tons of sponsors, and then we can make a business out of it, awesome. But like, how safe is that option, you know?
Right. You have to diversify. You know, you can't just...
Right.
Can't just... What... And moving on to... I was telling you I was listening to Axe on Iron.
Yeah.
I usually don't listen to a lot of them, but the not them, but any any of these style podcasts, because I get enough of it just doing it.
Yeah.
Just trying to shoot the videos all the time and do that. Like, I'm done. I mean, I like looking at people's work on Instagram, but that's about as much like time as I'll put into it. But they were talking about certain channels going down where all their eggs were in one basket, like Instagram, and then Instagram decided for whatever reason that their content wasn't, you know, it broke some rule.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that goes away, or, I mean, so that is you do have to worry about that and figure out something. That's what, you know, you got to sell something else.
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I will say that's kind of what happened to Alex from Outdoors 55. Although his channel still kept growing, but he just like stopped making videos because YouTube like demonetized some of his videos. And he was like, screw that. Like, what are you doing? Just demonetize for no reason? Like, you can just do that? You know, like, you don't understand. Like, that's not cool. You know, so he just got pissed off and stopped making videos for a long time. So, yeah, I don't know. It sucks. Like I said, you can't. There's no way to guarantee anything because it hasn't been around long enough.
Right.
You know, it's like 10 years. That's it. Like all the big channels, the ones who've been here from the beginning, they're like 10 years. That's all they've been. You know, it's like, it's not that long.
And who knows when they want to decide that any tool is a weapon.
Right. Exactly.
You know, something happens, something crazy happens.
There's no guarantee, right? It's not like, you know, it's not a salary, you know, it's completely based off of the whims of the algorithm and of YouTube and whatever they want to do. And so who knows, like, what do? You just keep riding the wave as long as the wave is there, you know, how do you know if the wave is changing? You know, like there's some of these big channels who everyone's seeing decline in views, you know, so what do? Like, I try to chase the algorithm to bring your views up, or you just try and keep on doing what you're doing and just assume, okay, well, this is what it is now. People are watching something different. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, it's kind of disheartening. You know, it's like, I want to love it. And, you know, I mean, I love what we do. I love making videos and I love putting them out there and we'll keep doing it. But the dream of it being like a full-time thing it's a smaller and smaller percentage of like that dream being a thing, a real thing, you know?
Yeah, to a degree. You just have to figure out another way. Right. Well, it's the lesson of you can't just, or you definitely can't make a business off of money views.
Revenue. Right, yeah.
So you have to find something different to something to sell or something to, to run with. Speaking of not doing anything, this last week and a half, we weren't there. We didn't do the podcast last week because my whole house was sick with something. I don't know what. Maybe it's something Dustin had, but I feel like we got a much worse version, and there was no fever to it.
Right.
It was just kind of like a really bad cold, almost what people would say COVID was, but we had took tests and none of that was it. And then my daughter went to a birthday party and then a stomach bug was going around. So then we were sick, my wife and I, and then our daughter had a stomach bug. So it was like in the last week, it was like 7 to 10 times where she would throw up everywhere out of nowhere. So you had no like warning. Most of the times it was in her room on her bed at night.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to get up and deal with that while we're both sick, too. Like tired and sick and cleaning her up and giving her a bath. And then one time it must have been everything she ate and drank for the last, like, 2 days.
Oh.
And it all came out at once. And she was like, we're in the living room together. And my wife's like, are you okay? Like, you look. And then she picked her up and all over her. And then I'm like catching what I can.
Oh.
But then we start to move and she throws up again all over our carpet, like the carpet on the wood floor. And then I'm like trying to move her at that point, and she's just throwing up everywhere. Like,
oh man.
And it was just like 2 days worth of everything all over, like everything. So it was just,
jeez.
That was a long one. Trying to clean all that up and clean the carpet and all the floors and.
Man, yeah, that's like that's the worst. Like when toddlers throw up because they like can't control it and they don't really understand and they're like, you feel so bad. You can't reason with them, you know. Like, I mean, just being nauseous and throwing up is shitty enough, mm-hmm. you know. And then you just see a little child do it, and you're like, oh, I wish I could say something. Yeah, right. You're like, I'm sorry. You know, you just try to just comfort them. That's all you can do, you know?
Yeah, just give them a hug, like, and then, you know, you're covered in puke, and they are, and everyone's just throw up everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, at least if you're an adult, you know, or even like a older child, you can kind of reason, you know, you understand, okay, and you feel it coming, you know, like, oh, I'm feeling crappy. Let me go to the bathroom, or let me keep a trash can nearby, you know?
Right.
You try to understand that, like, the consequences of your actions, right? You know, if I don't have a trash can, I'm going to throw up over everything, and someone else is going to have to clean it up, you know, like, and poor little kids, they don't know. They're just standing there, just like, what? You know,
right.
like, let it rip. Gosh. Oh, it just comes out of nowhere. Oh.
So it's been a wild week of.
Oh, man, making me feel bad.
not doing much.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it sucked. I knew there was something up because. You were like quiet, you know, like I hadn't heard from you in like a few days, and it was like, definitely. I was like, yeah. And then when I texted about the podcast, and you were like, oh, I really feel crappy. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, why you've been so quiet, you know? Like,
yeah, just not like doing anything. Not, you know, it is when you're sick. You just, it's like you hunker down,
right? Yeah,
you just kind of chill and you try to hang on.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
But yeah, we made it through. Everyone's good. Yeah. Except for I got a cough, a little bit of a cough left. And Caitlin is on the end of whatever she had. Right. And Maeve hasn't thrown up for like 4 days. So that's good.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a good run. Yeah. Yeah, we've all been good, fortunately, since that one day crazy thing that I had. But I did have a kind of a random shitty situation where last week I was driving my daughter I was going to work in the morning. I drop off Corinne at school in the morning and then I go downtown. And so I dropped her off and I'm heading down the main highway to head down into Baltimore City. And I see like a light pops up on my dash here, bing, and I see it says check gauges. So it's my check gauges light. Mm. It's basically saying like something that is on your dashboard is out of whack, right? One of your gauges, it's just saying like, hey, pay attention to your gauges because something's crazy. And now with my truck, when my oil gets a little low, it will pop up pretty often. Like because this is an older truck, so it leaks a little bit of oil. Not as bad as my Ford, man. My Ford was like a sieve. But this is like occasionally, like, you know, every month or so, I'll put some more oil in it, put another quart or something like that. So it'll pop up when it starts to get low. So I just assumed it was that. So I look down, I'm looking over, I'm like, okay, no, it looks good. Like, you know, the gauge, my oil gauge will actually go, it'll fall all the way down to zero. And the light will pop off and then it'll like boop pop up to the middle somewhere, right? So it's like if I like take a turn quick, wherever the oil is, it's like rocking back and forth inside of the engine, and so the gauge, the sensor is like reading that it's low, you know, so it'll pop. But it was like perfectly fine. I'm like, oh, that's weird. And the light's still on, and then I'm like looking at my other gauges and I see that my temperature gauge is all the way up, my engine temp.
Oh boy.
It's like up in the red. I was like, oh no. So I'm like just about to pass an exit. So I like hit the brake and like zip over and get off at an exit. I pull up, you know, just kind of stop. And this is like on my way to work. stop, and as I pull up and stop, and it's just like just a random side street, I see like some steam or smoke coming up from my engine compartment. I'm like, oh man. So I get out, I open up the hood, and there's like steam and there's liquid spraying from the engine toward the radiator. Right. So like it's not the radiator. Right. You know, it's like it's not spraying out of the radiator, like there's a hole in the radiator. And like I don't really know engines very well, so I'm like, okay, well there's, you know, it's just I'm just looking in, I'm like, what does it look? It looks like it's just coming from the main engine body. I'm like, oh man, is there a hole in the engine? Like I don't know what, you know, so I'm like sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, it's a lot of steam and just a little bit of like water spraying out. So I'm like, okay, well, does that mean that like most of my coolant is gone, right? Maybe it's really low and it's just steaming what's left. So I'm like, all right, well, let me open up the radiator to put some more coolant in, because I had like another half gallon in my truck. So I'm like, okay, well, I know that like you're not supposed to open up a radiator when, you know, it's heat, because it's right. The whole thing is pressurized. I'm like, okay, well, I understand that, you know, but I can, it looks like there's only a little bit of water spraying out of this thing and it's some steam. And so like all those things led me to believe that maybe it was low. Like maybe somehow it had gotten low and that's why it was overheating. Okay. So I grab an oil rag that I keep in my truck. I put that over the cap, and then I grab a glove from my, you know, like from the back of my truck. And so I have the oil rag and a glove on. So that way, if I'm assuming I'm going to get some steam as I open up the cap. So I'm like, okay. So I open it up, I crack it, and it's like, you know, a little steam coming out. And so I like crack a little bit more and it's like steaming, but not a ton of pressure. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I crack it the rest of the way and it explodes. All like a geyser of engine coolant comes out and like spraying out the entire engine compartment of my truck is just like, and like not just like one bang, not just like a, it's like a, just like just so much. And like, fortunately I was kind of back, 'cause I was kind of ready for it, you know? So it like, it didn't burn me, but it like, it definitely sprayed up and like splashed all over me and my face and like my clothes, and I'm backing up like, and just geysering the inside. I'm like, oh, I'm like, duh, of course. Like, that's why I say, don't open it up when it's hot, 'cause it's going to spray all over the place. So if my radiator wasn't empty, it was definitely completely full of engine coolant, sprays all over the place. I'm like, shit. So fortunately I had some coolant, so I put it in, you know, I put in whatever the half gallon I have there. And once it stops geysering out all over the place, close it back up. I go in and I start my truck, which I'm like, okay, let me just start it and see what it does. And the engine temperature is like right in the middle. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was enough to cool it down. Let me see if I can try to get home, you know, 'cause it's like maybe 10 minutes to get back home. 'Cause at that point I'm like, okay, well obviously there's something wrong. Like I can't go to work. I gotta get home. I just want to get home so then I can assess from there, you know?
Right.
So I started the truck and I kind of start going back down the road, and it's not sounding great. And the temperature's still low. Like it's in the middle. It's not climbing back up all the way, but like the truck is not driving well. It's like, you know, it's like it's having trouble staying going and like crap. So eventually I just like stopped. Like, all right, I can't go any further. I stopped. And as I stopped on the side of the road, like just not even at a light, just randomly on the side of the road, not even a pull off. Just I'm in the lane, in the road, just stop. And as I pull up the stop, the engine just turns off. I'm like, oh crap. So, I'm sitting there and I called my wife, called Nicole, and like, hey, you know, I have issues. She was actually going to the dentist. This was last Thursday morning. So she was going to the dentist. So she was actually home and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to the dentist. I'll be there until then. So, you know, whatever, get tow truck. And when I'm done, I'll come pick you up, whether the tow truck's there or not, you know? And I was like, okay, I was close enough to Home Depot there, you know, that York Road area.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, if they come before you come, I'll just walk up to Home Depot and I'll meet you up there. And then I called dad. So I called my dad. I'm like, hey, you know, this is what happened. 'Cause I'm like, okay, do I call Jerry, who's our kind of friend who does truck stuff? Do I talk to Steve, who's our mechanic up in Moncton?
Right.
You know, so I kind of called him 'cause I was thinking, okay, well, I can talk to Dad, and if he thinks I should take it to Jerry, then I'll get a tow to Jerry.
Right.
And so I call Dad and I tell him kind of what happened. You know, I explain the situation, like, show this. I saw water spraying out in front of the engine, but across from the radiator, right? Facing the radiator. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it sounds like your water pump. I was like, okay. So then, like, after we talked a little bit, and he said his truck was actually at Jerry's. He's like, Jerry's got my truck right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I'd say just take it to Steve.
I went and picked him up.
Oh, did you? Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, I guess, you know. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do Jerry. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just have him take it up to Steve. So then after I talk to Dad, I walk out again, I look inside, and then, like, now that I kind of know what I'm looking for, at least I'm suspecting what Dad said, it sounds like a water pump. Then I see that, like, at the bottom of the radiator, there's, like, the big hose, like the 2-inch hose that's going up toward the engine, and that goes right into the water pump, which I now see is right there where I was seeing the spray.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense, right? That is what that is. And hopefully that's all it is. Right. It's just,
right.
Yeah, so I actually ended up not taking it up to our kind of normal mechanic, just because it was they have weird hours and stuff. So not weird hours, but they're just not, like, they're not always open. You know, they're, like, open, like, 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. That's it. You know, like, right. Just they're regular hours.
Right.
They're not kind of, like, so I ended up taking it to a Meineke, which is only, like, not even a whole mile down the road, because I knew they would just get it done. Like, they're going to be open every day. They're going to be open Saturday and Sunday because they have a whole bunch of different people who work there. And,
Right. And
so I called them and they were like, yeah, it's fine. You know, and actually when I called the tow through Nationwide, she suggested, she was like, oh, well, there's a Meineke, you know, that can do this. It's only 0.8 miles away from you. And I was like, no, I want to take it up to my mechanic. And then we're talking a while along and I'm like, maybe I will take it to that Meineke, you know, because I figure, like, it's Thursday, and if Steve can't get it on Thursday or Friday, right, then it's not going to be till Monday or Tuesday the next week that I'm out my vehicle for multiple days if it's just a small issue.
Right.
So I take it to Meineke, or I call Meineke, and I tell him, like, this is what I think it is, and he's like, yeah, it's fine. He's like, we've got a bunch of cars in today, but I'm sure we can take a look at it today, and then, you know, we could probably work on it tomorrow. So it'll be Thursday into Friday. I'm like, all right, cool. That sounds great. So they towed it over and Nicole picked me up and we went home and I heard back from it. It did end up being the water pump. Mm-hmm. They didn't call me on Thursday. They called me on Friday, and said, like, yeah, it's the water pump and, you know, we're going to fix it. And so hopefully we'll get it done today, but if not today, tomorrow. And I was like, that's fine. Cause at that point I'd already borrowed a friend's vehicle for Friday. And then on Saturday it didn't matter cause of the weekend. So. But yeah, it was just like, it was not one thing, it's another, right? Man, just can't, like, yeah. And that's like, yeah, it's like almost $700, right? There's my ticket to BenchCon right there. Yeah, because it was like, the part was like $150, but the labor was $450. You know, it's like,
I know.
But, you know, like, what would I have saved in labor if I took it to Jerry? Maybe half the price. Maybe he charged me like $400, you know, or something. If I would have gone to Steve, it might have been $600 or $700, you know. So the convenience and the time, I pay the extra 100 or two, whatever, to make sure it's done quickly and, you know, conveniently close by.
Like, yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah, I need my vehicle, man.
Man, if you're going to, well, it's, you know, if you're in O'Hara, you're definitely going to be getting calls from another O'Hara to come.
Yeah, right,
pick
exactly.
You up or bail you out, because
yep.
It's happened to all of us and we've all gotten the calls and it's just. We've had a lot of old cars and trucks, so you get a lot of calls. And yeah, like you said, Dad's was already up there because he called me.
Yeah.
Hey, I went to pick this thing up for this guy. Truck's not working. So I went up and grabbed him, and he was, you know, he drives around Amish folks sometimes, so I had to take a couple guys back to their place and then Dad home. And then, but, you know, it is what it is. You help people when they need help, because we've all been there and it's going to happen again. And
yeah, exactly.
That's all right. That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. But fortunately it was just the water pump. Cause, like, who knows, you know, like, it's an older truck. It's a 2001. So, you know, it's over 20 years old, and it could have been a crack in the, you know, in the actual engine. Like, who knows? Like, I didn't know. I was like, I hope it's, you know, not. I mean, I guess, like, the more I, once, you know, Dad's assessment was like, oh yeah, it sounds like your water pump, you know. And then once I thought about that, then it all made sense, right? Okay, it's like, yeah, it was definitely steam and fluid, not oil, that was coming out, right? So it's not like a crack in the engine, because the engine doesn't have water in it. It's just it's cooled by the, you know, the coolant.
Right.
So if it was the crack in the engine, there would be like oil all over the place or gasoline, you know, like. So the more I realize, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, but it just, who knows, you know? I'm like, okay, it could be the end of the truck, you know. All I'm thinking, like, okay, do I get another vehicle? What, do I get a new one? Do I get another old one? Da da da. You know, like, do I have money for that right now? Okay, what do I have to do?
I mean, like, what you got to do is get hit by somebody.
I know, right? Yeah,
pull have someone truck. Repair, give you a price for the truck, and then.
Yep. And that's the thing, too. I was like, I when I called our insurance, I was like, you know, can I get a rental? And I was like, is that covered in the plan? They were like, no, not for like just a broken, like if you had an accident, it would be covered. And like, but not for, I was like, yeah, that's what I figured.
Like, I did have an accident. Fluid everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. The truck. Yeah. It's shitty and it's got a crack somewhere. That's the accident. It's not supposed to happen.
My water pump,
water pump broke accidentally. accidentally. It wasn't on purpose.
man, it's crazy stuff. We joked for a while. In my 20s, I had a whole slew of for the longest time, it was like, what can I get for under $1,000?
Right.
That's like the classic thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I can get it for $1,000 and it's like less than a car payment every month, it's great.
Yeah.
So I went through a million vehicles that only lasted a year or two. But there's the stress of what's going to happen and all that stuff. But I kept getting hit, and I'm not right, one. Yeah. I mean, I'm not claiming any injuries, but insurance company will pay whatever. They'll give you a check, and the check's always for crappy cars, total check is usually more than what you paid for it.
Right, yeah.
Is $800?
Give me $2,800? Sweet.
Right. It was $800, and then they give you $1,500.
Yeah.
And I smashed the $1,500 car, and they gave me $2,500. Then I smashed the next one, and they gave me $4,500. So I worked my way up.
You're like, now I actually have some money. I can put a down payment on a good
vehicle. And I kept getting slightly nicer and nicer vehicles. And then I got hit in my wife's vehicle, which actually she did buy new. And so we got a good chunk of that. And then that's what we finally put down on the truck I have now, which I like. It's a 2012 F-150. So it's good stuff. But
2012. Dang, that's old.
I know.
It doesn't look like a 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look like a 11-year-old vehicle. You know, like it's like, yeah. It looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a good down payment on that, but that was kind of a little bit different.
You work your way up.
And of course, the wife has a brand new hybrid, so
right.
I'll just scrounge to whatever I can get, and she'll be zooming around in the spacecraft.
That's right. Yeah, you gotta take care of the ladies, right? Make sure they have a vehicle that they don't have to worry about. That's the thing. Because, you know, I'm happy to worry about a vehicle, right? I mean, not happy to, but like, if it had to be me or Nicole, like, let it be me.
Yeah, right? Because
at least I can. Yeah, at least I can open the hood and look inside. I don't like if I got to reach in and get my arms dirty. Like,
if
I'm gonna
get sprayed with fluids, it's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If some random dude's got to come along in a tow truck and like, you know, deal with me on the side of the road, I'd rather be me than Nicole. You know,
it's a funny story what happens to you. It's like tragic what happens to your wife. It was horrible. It sprayed everywhere. You know, all right, settle down. Everyone calm down. Yeah, right. Most people just laugh at you like, oh, you idiot.
You dummy. You know you should open that
You
up.
Knew it. And you did.
Sprayed all over. I didn't tell anybody that story except for Nicole until now. So now everybody who's listening gets to know it.
Here we go.
Because I was so ashamed. I'm like, that was so dumb.
I know I shouldn't have done that.
I was like, man, when the guys like go to work on the water pump, they're going to see everything inside the engine compartment's wet and they're going to know what I did.
This guy tried to open it up, didn't he?
It was so crazy. It was so much fluid that came out, you know, because the top of the radiator is like a 1.5-inch hole, you know, and it's probably, I don't know, what, 3 gallons or something, 4 gallons, just being like, it's like, right, if you squeeze a milk gallon, you know what happens, like,
right, right,
that, but it's like multiple, like, it's like high pressure spraying all over the place. Oh,
that's great.
I'm like looking around. Fortunately, there was no one driving by when that happened. Idiot sprayed himself. Oh, yeah. Man. But yeah, so that was a little bit dramatic, but we got this all worked up. Got my truck back. She's still riding like a 25-year-old truck. It's great. But, you know, it's like I just put in a new transmission recently, you know, because I got the truck for really inexpensive. So I put in a new transmission. So after putting that in, it was like $2,400 or whatever it was, you know. It's like, now in my mind, you know, it's that whole $1,000 thing. Like, that's got to last me at least 2.5 more years. Because, oh, like, if I'm trying to get that $1,000 a year, you know, kind of checklist off, you know. So I'm like, now I'm up another 600, so it's got to last 3 years.
I think you're pushing it there.
I know, right? What are you going to do? Yeah. But other than that, I've been working on a whole set of sheep shear knives.
Yeah,
which is super fun, super exciting, and it's a whole different experience doing a batch creation like that.
Yeah,
because everything I've done up to this point is like pretty much one off. And I mean, obviously, when we made the sheep shear knives for the video, they come in a pair, right? So I make two, but
right,
it's still that's still like I'm working with the aesthetic of this like one object, you know. So like all my focus is on how do I make this one look as good as possible,
yeah.
And how do I like work from one step to the next to the next to the next, all working on one thing, but working in a batch, it's a completely different mindset. It's like, all right, I have all these things and they all need to get done and you don't want to do one at a time. So you're like, okay, what's the most efficient use of my time? Then how do I work through a process?
He's sick.
I
got you.
It was a beer burp. I got that like that beer stuff in my yeah, so it's kind of cool. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, they come in the sheep shears. If you guys know, they have, you know, it's like two petty chef knives, you know, that's what they look like, attached with a spring at the back. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll cut off all the springs. And it's funny because each time I'm working on this, I'm like, okay, I know that the process of making one is not that big of a deal. I have 12 here. That's kind of a big deal, right? It's going to be a long time for me to get all these things done, even though I'm not doing, you know, my plan is not to do any heat treatment, you know, not do anything. They're all ready to go. All I have to do is basically cut them apart, shape them, grind them, clean them up, put handles on them. There you go. But one of those doesn't, you know, maybe 2 days of working, 12 of them is not like that many more. So it's like, it shouldn't be 12 times that amount. So like, how do I do it in an efficient way? So
right,
it's kind of cool. It's like, all right, cut off all the rings. And I do the first one and I'm kind of like, all right, a little awkward with where I'm cutting, where I'm holding the blade, you know, using the cutoff wheel to cut off the thing and how I'm clamping it in the vise. But by the time I get to the third and the fourth one, I've got a process down, right? It's like,
right,
clamp it in. I cut through half of the ring here, cut through half of the spring here, flip it over, cut this half. It falls on the ground. I don't have to touch it because it's hot. I grab the other two, I move them over, I grab the next one. You know, so it's right, like this, right, I get into like a flow. It's cool. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just cut them off, right? I'll do that. Just let me just cut them off and see where that goes. So I do that. Okay, cool. All right. So I get them off and then I'm like, okay, well, now that's done. Like now I can move on to the next thing. Like they're all ready.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, all right, well, let me just grind like one of them just to see how long it takes. I'm like, just grind it. Okay. That's pretty good. Like that one's done. I'm gonna grab another one. Keep going. I'm gonna grab another one. Keep going. And, like grind off the ends where the spring was, right? Cause I'm just cutting them straight across. So then I have to grind it. So it's like a smooth at the end of the handle, you know, smooth rounded and kind of looks nice. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'll just work through one step at a time, do them all the same. And, yeah, it was like, it's a whole different way of working. Like it's not, there is a progress that happens, which is heartening. You know, it's like, I have all these things done up to this point.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't have the same type of satisfaction of like working through an individual thing, you know, like I'm watching this thing progress. I'm like loving this one object until I've loved it enough that now it looks beautiful.
You know, like, yeah. It's like you're getting more hits of, oh, there's a change.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of getting one of those hits every day or whatever. Like,
right, yeah.
Oh, I see all these things have changed, but you're constantly moving on to the next step.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, and the decision-making process is slower, right? It's like, okay, I need to, what's my next step? Okay, it's this. Now I'm going to do this with 12 knives.
Right.
You know, so by the time you do first, second, third, fourth, by the time you get to your third or fourth, your efficiency has gotten better. You know, the process has gotten better. The hand movements, the holding, where you're grinding, how you're approaching the belt, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then I'm like, okay, well, let me, you know, wire wheel all of them, clean them all up. So now they've been like cut off and I've ground at the end of the handle, and now I wire wheel all of them. So any rust, any surface rust is all off. They look really beautiful. Okay, good, cool. Yeah. Now I'll throw them into the rust bath and do that, you know, let them all sit, pull them all out. Then I got to wire wheel them all again. And like each thing, because it's not a huge step, like it doesn't take a ton of time. I think the longest one thing took me was when I got to grinding bevels, I did same thing that I was like, okay, well, I need to grind in the initial bevel on every one. So I'll use a 36 grit belt and I'll do every one with 36 grit. And that step took me 2 hours, almost exactly, minus like maybe 15 minutes in between when I was trying to put together a reel of me doing it, which didn't end up working out. And if you saw that reel where it was like, it was just that like one little clip over and over again really quickly.
No, I didn't.
It was like, it was supposed to be like a 30-second reel, and it ended up being like a 3-second reel that just went over and over and over again, which was kind of funny because that was like the whole point was like, this is this process that I'm doing over and over again, you know? So it was like, okay, well, it kind of works. But I was like, well, that wasn't what it was supposed to look like, but whatever. I'm just going to leave it because I kind of think it's cool. But yeah, almost exactly 2 hours to grind all 12. With the initial 36 grit, which is like just, you know, cause they kind of have a grind on them because they're shears, you know, they're blades, but I have to grind both sides to get like an actual fine, edge. So putting that initial 36 grit on, which is the longest of any of the belts, because everything from here on out is just about progression up, where I'm just cleaning up that, you know, the bevel's already there. I just need to go through the next finer belt until I get to, you know, like a Scotch-Brite belt and then a strop at the end and sharpen them up. So, you know, it's a cool process. But it's definitely something different. It's not something I've ever done before to do a whole bunch of things like that. And it's more of the, like the business side of making, you know, it's like you're making an iteration of this one thing, and you got to make a whole bunch. So you have to build in efficiencies of like process and you know, how you're working through that stuff. So it's kind of cool. It's fun getting into the groove of each one. You know, you learn each one, each step, you get better and better at it. You know, by the time you get to the end one, you're like, oh, should I go back to revisit the first one that I did on this step? Because maybe it wasn't as good. And I did a couple of times. I kind of like went back and looked at things. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you know, fix something or grind something a little bit better or wire wheel a little bit better or something. You know?
So I got two thoughts on that. Okay. One is that must be, I mean, everyone has the desire to get better equipment, faster equipment.
Yeah.
But that is, I'm sure, your feeling of, if I had something to do this.
Yep.
Or if I had something to do that. Or like, you know, one of those, instead of grinding them by hand, like one of those things that you just slide back and forth, you know, back and forth. Like, you're like, oh, that's where all these things are wanted and come in like handy. It's the one-off stuff is great to do by hand and slower and more meticulous. But once you do those batches, you're like, oh, I can see.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could see why. I mean, of course, you know why people have these things. But
yeah,
once you're doing that many, you're like, oh, okay, I just need to, you're trying to streamline then.
Right. And then that's when you also, I think, you realize where your money is spent, right? Your time is your money, right? But also, like, it's hard to see that when you're working one or one off or two of something, because the benefit, the profit of if you sell those two things or one thing is not great enough,
right?
Typically to warrant buying a big machine.
Right.
But if I sell even these knives, which I'm selling for $200 a piece, if I sell all 10, because two of them are for my wife, if I sell 10, that's $2,000. you know, and for the amount of time that I put in, if I can buy a machine that next time I do it, it can save me a quarter of the time by using this machine, and the machine cost me $1,500. Well, then I can make 10 more knives in less time and sell them.
Right.
And then make that money back right away, you know, yeah. And then I'm, yeah. And then I'm back into profit, you know? So like, that's the whole, yeah, that's exactly, that's the yeah, whole
people
idea.
People go like, hey, I was taking 2 hours to do yeah. this step before, and now it takes me 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, shoot, I can get three more steps done a day because I got this one thing.
Right.
Second Your other point thought. Was, I think I've lost it.
Okay.
So there's well, my one yeah. thought about it.
That's like, you know, Brian House just bought like a big CNC mill.
Oh, holy know? Cow. I saw that.
Yeah. And I think it was like $100,000 or something. I forget what I kind of heard, I think, on work. That one, it's yeah. a lot of money.
You know? It's like, the size of something you can walk into.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's probably.
You know, yeah. it's.
Yeah, right. It's going to be a lot of money, right? But, you know, that's the thing. It's like you're investing back into the efficiency of what you can do. And hopefully you work out the economics where, okay, if I buy this machine, how soon is this going to pay for itself?
Right.
Right. Because that's the whole point. Like the machine has to pay for itself and then you're back into profit. Right. So right. it's like.
Or, you know, the machine like that, it brings you into another level of production.
Right.
Yeah. Where you don't have to go, hey, we're only making 25 or we're only making 50. I think whatever they made 50. Yeah. But all of a sudden you go, yeah, we can open it up. Or someone wants a huge order or they're like, hey, can you make 500 of these? And then all of a sudden you go from, yeah, we can make 50 to 500. Like,
right.
It's a whole different level. It's a whole different game then. Like,
yeah,
you're just jumping into another level of the game.
Right.
Which is great. He can and they should, and I'm excited for him, man. We gotta figure out a way to get down there and shoot some stuff down there, and
yeah,
like that'd be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be really fun. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see him at Blade Show this year. I know we've talked to Brian over the years about, you know, meeting up different places and stuff and hanging out. At one point, he was going to come up to visit some family up in PA and stop and visit us, and I think that was right before COVID. No, was it? Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. But either way, it was like, you know, ended up not working out for one reason or another, but yeah.
Also, I mean, there's, you know, we want to do like day in the life videos and stuff, which would be fun.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm really excited about doing those, trying to get those done.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. I know we did the one with Kevin Brubaker, you know.
Yeah, but
not really Day in the Life. That was more just the,
yeah, I really want to
give this a shot.
I really think we can, like, I have a lot of ideas how to make it
mm-hmm.
nice and how to make it work and have, again, I'm trying to get down to a, like, a vision or a focused beam of what we got to do.
Right, yeah.
Because sometimes you go in too loose, like, hey, we'll just come around and shoot some stuff and talk, and it's fine. But I think we can really get it down to a nice thing,
right?
Where we go visit people, but I want to do the day in the life thing where you follow them the whole time, and there's right. just them doing different things, and then just I don't want it to be as much of, hey, we're here with blah, 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 and hey, what do you think about this? It's like, you're right away, you're in it. And yeah. then you're there too, Dust. And then you guys, you're just sitting and talking.
Right.
Like, there's not all the setup. There's just right away, it's, you're in it, and you're there with them having coffee in the morning before you do something. You're discussing a topic.
Right.
And then you see them working for a while, and we really go into that, and then there's a talking head of them, of him, whoever it is,
right,
discussing what they're doing and why they do it, and then, like, really make it nice and clean and just an interesting way to, it's like, I don't know, it's like a really nice vlog or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, yeah, not, I mean, I and, think... and not, and, like, I don't want to get too much into, like, how'd you start and all this, and I just want to be there. Right. And like,
yeah, I think, you know? I know we've talked a lot about NHK documentaries, but a lot of them feel that way.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why it's in my brain. I'm like, oh, we should we should be doing this.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, you're just watching the person. You know, a lot of them are just, you know, there might be some, you know, some dialogue and stuff, but a lot of times it's just, you're just watching a person go through what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is what they do, and you're just watching it all. Like, it's super interesting, you know, to go through a day. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. And, you know, and obviously it can be, it's more, I don't know, like, what's his name? The Raw Craft, Anthony Bourdain, you know?
Like, oh, yeah, kinda, yeah, right. They, like, you did a great thing.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of like hanging out with people. There's also the Craftsman's Corner. There's a few people who do shows that are kind of like that. But yeah, I mean, I think, that could be cool. You know, I think there's got to be a level of comfort, right? It's got to be somebody that we're like comfortable with. I don't know.
It's not a new thing. Like you said, it's like an old school documentary thing, like just hanging out with a person and shooting what they're doing. But there's just so many opportunities and people to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a less intrusive thing.
Right.
Than a rigmarole of, hey, we want to ask you many questions and do this and that. It's like, we're just going to come and shoot and hang out a little bit and sit down and talk, have some coffee, and then
do what you
we'll sit you down for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And just ask you a few basic questions and get some thoughts about stuff. And then we'll be out of your hair, you know, in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And we think about that. And like, I know that like our conversations about Brian House, like, led into this conversation. And like, I've heard him talk multiple times about, you know, being a, and I've also heard other people talk about it, like being a business owner, you know, where you're like, oh, well, this is my business. Like, you don't want people just like showing up and hanging out, because I own my own business and I can make my own hours doesn't mean I could just take off whenever I want.
Right.
You know, like, he's like, people come to visit them in Florida and want to go to the beach every day. Like, I can't just go to the beach. I have to work. Like, they're like, yeah, but you own your own business. You make your own hours. Like, yeah. But it doesn't mean I could just take off. Like, there's a reason why I own my own business and I'm successful, because I need to work, you know? So he's like, if people are going to come visit, they're welcome to come visit, but they're going to have to work while they're there. Like, we're working. Right. We're not just hanging out.
Yeah.
So like, that's like perfect for that, you know? Like,
you want to be out of the way and but also be there. And
yeah, because like having, you know, hosting people is hard work. You know, you're like, okay, you never can really get comfortable. You know, there's always this person that you want to make sure that they're happy. And then you're like conscious about like, okay, is the bathroom clean enough or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, it's not your family or like your best friends that you can kind of, you know, ignore, but you know, it's like, it's a little different. So it's not easy. It's work to have someone hang out with you. You know, like, okay, well, what are we doing? You know, especially if you're like that. So the least intrusive, you know, that we could be in that situation, I think, is good, right? That's the whole point. You just like, hey, we want to come out and hang out with you for the day. Like, I'll just help whatever you want to do for your job. Like, you do your normal thing, would it make sense for me to come and hang out and help you out and see what you do? Maybe we chat a little bit about it throughout the day. We'll have lunch, you know, I'll buy you lunch, blah, 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 whatever it is, you know, like, and then we'll document it.
And have, that sounds fun. And have, like, you actually help out.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things we don't need to do, the thing where you do something to look silly. Not that that would be our thing, but that's like the famous thing that they do. Like, hey, let's have them, you know, make donuts. And obviously he can't do it as good as the lady making donuts. Right, so we're going to make him look stupid. Like, no, it'd be actually like, if there's something that you can actually do.
Right. Yeah. If that's like, you know, like, carting the dough back and forth, you know, like, I can do that.
Right, or doing, if it's so, like, yeah, just like yeah. like busy work, like I'll clean this stuff up as you do this. Like,
yeah, right. Taking away this thing. Yeah. Actually, like, what can I do is beneficial, you know? And then obviously where my talents are, you know, it's like actually using my hands and doing things cleanly and neatly. You know, like if I can do something, like, let me try right. to, you know, try right. to do it. You know, something that, yeah. No, that's
so, yeah, I don't know, something like that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So we kind of hinted at it, but we did start our new video tonight. So the Chopper Challenge, YouTube Knife Maker Challenge, Chopper Edition, which is coming out now, or not coming out now, coming out in, what do we got, March, April, something like that.
April.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. So we're getting a nice jump, a head start on it, which is good because we're always like trying to get it done last minute, you know? And that's just, I think that's the result of the way we make and put out YouTube videos. You know, it's like we make and put out a YouTube video as soon as it's done. And if we don't do that, then all of that time that was put into making and editing the video, and then we don't have a video at the end of that, is just more time that we're not putting out a YouTube video. You know, so it's not like we like build up YouTube videos and put them out every week. You know, it's like we put them out as soon as they get done. So doing something like this where we're doing it early will help us for our, like, you know, stress level when we get closer to the time that needs to be done. But we'll have to kind of make, you know, we'll have to put something else out in the meantime. So I know we've thought about a few different things that could be short videos, but it is nice to get it started and know that we have some time to kind of do it and do it well. You know, like, I want to do it well, and I want to do something that's fun and unique and, like you said, kind of highlights my ability as an artist as well as a craftsman, and the capabilities that I have with the tools of my shop, you know.
Right.
So I'm excited. It's nice that we're getting it started now. I forget. Maybe it's, I don't know. I know that the deadline was like further out than I was originally thinking. I was like, oh, that's great. We got plenty of time, you know? So like we have enough time to do like one of our long videos well, and then still have time, you know, after it. So
yeah.
It's nice to.
We're gonna have to shoot some other stuff though to fill the.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I know that, so we're working on the Chopper Challenge, which is the War Club, Gunstock War Club. I don't think we've posted about it really or talked about it, but that started out, which I got a really cool piece of curly white oak. So I stopped at a local lumber yard or mill. Yeah, I guess Free State Timbers is my local one here. And talked to the owner. We chatted a little bit. I told him what I was doing and talked to him about trying to get a nice piece of wood that had some good figure to it, but also is a strong wood. Like, it had to be a hard wood. It had to be something that can stand up to being a club, but also needs to look nice. You know, so
smash watermelons.
Yes. Smash big old watermelons. So he was thinking about what he had, and he was like, I don't know. I don't have any really, like, I don't have any maple. Cause that's kind of what my first thought was, like some curly maple, you know, that'd be kind of cool. Cause that's like traditionally, I think one of the things that gunstocks are made out of, you know, you get this beautiful, like, tiger maple, you get all the really cool character in the pattern of the wood. So he's kind of looking at a few things. I might have some here. And he's like, you know what? I think I do have a piece of curly oak. And I asked for a 6/4, which is 1.5 inches. Cause that's kind of like, that's the minimum that I wanted. So he ended up pulling out a piece and it was like, perfect. It's 6/4. So 1.5 inches thick, 10 inches wide. And he had a nice long piece. So he cut me off a couple feet of it. And I was super, super excited to see how beautiful, the curl was once I cut that open, like really cool grain, really cool chatoyance, like even just like coming off the bandsaw, it's gonna be really nice. I'm really excited because that's half the battle, is getting just a piece of wood that's really beautiful on its own. You know, and then because that'll save us potentially a bunch of time later trying to do something with stains or like fades, you know, to make it look nice, you know, like, so it's right. Something that it'll have, right, like a ton of its own beauty just in itself, which then, you know, potentially could mean that, like, less, you know, less decoration because of how cool it looks because of the beautiful grain. So,
yeah,
it's fun. I'm really excited to do it. It's a super cool project, something I've been interested in forever, because it's the weapon that Chingachgook had in Last of the Mohicans in movie. And that's like one of my favorite movies of all time. And, you know, I saw that movie probably when I was like in middle school or something, you know, so it's been a really long time, and I've been kind of enthralled by this crazy weapon for a really long time. I've seen a bunch of different people do it in subsequent years, and now I'm getting a chance to do it myself, which is just super cool. So that's fun. I'm excited. We got it started tonight. We, you know, drew out a design, which I'm really happy with, and then cut out the wood, which is beautiful. And now it's just thinking about those steps. One step at a time. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You were like, oh, what if you could make two out of this piece of wood? And I was like, I could make two out of this piece of wood, but I'm not going to.
Well, at least, you can make another one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. There's a ton of interest. And yeah, right.
I would almost, well, you know, it all depends. But you make another one and either sell it or yeah. Figure out a way to give it away or auction it.
Yeah,
or
right. Do a something raffle or to, something.
Because people are always asking for stuff.
Right.
So if a lot of people like this, and they go, well, I got another one.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, for me, like, I love doing different stuff, right? So it's like, this is different. It's something new. You know, like, it's always fun, you know? I mean, I love making knives, and that's something that's repeatable and something that I've done for a long time. You know, but it's nice to just doing a new thing, coming away with a new final product. That's not something I've ever made before. You know, there's a huge, excitement in that for me. You know, I'm like, oh, look at this cool thing. You know, it's like, now I know I can do that thing. You know, like it's part of my library of my skills. Like, oh, I can make one of those. I've made one of those before.
Yeah. And it's like, I always say, it's fun to shoot something different.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, something, this looks different. Get different shots of this thing. Like, it's not the same exact. Right. You can only do so much with just a standard knife, shooting-wise. But
right.
It'll be fun. Yeah. And then we got to do, you know, we'll do, like, a fun slow-mo intro, like we did with Scottish Dirk and with Warbow. Like, we'll do something like that. I mean, you know, short of you dressing up like a Native American, because I think that's frowned upon these days, but...
Yeah, right. Oh!
right.
How?
Dancing around. All the
cliche stuff. Yeah. All right, I don't feel bad about dressing up like a Scottish man. You know,
right,
like,
yeah, that's in your...
Because that's me. Like, yeah. But there's not a lot of Native Americans with big red beards.
We could do the same. We could just still have a cool, like, almost, I don't know, I'll have to look at some Last of the Mohican scenes.
Right. Yeah, we could do something with, like, recreating one of the scenes. You know, it's like the run by and throwing the war axe, the war club at the back of the dude. Or the final scenes. Oh, it's so cool. So cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to do my recommendation. If you don't have anything else we should talk about.
No, we're good.
So my recommendation is another Instagrammer, another content creator who is a knife maker, but also has made quite a few Gunstock War Clubs. And I've recommended him before, I'm pretty sure. It's Wasteland Forge. Wasteland Forge on Instagram. That's James Fleming. He is a great knife maker. Really cool dude. He's a good part of the community. He actually, I think he just got his Journeyman Smith at last year's Blade show. He did his ABS.
Really cool.
Journeyman, got his Journeyman distinction, but he does some really cool, the aesthetic of his work is like Western Native American, right? That type of like bone handle, Bowie knives. You know, he also does a lot of culinary knives and like all the other things, but that's kind of where he got his start was, excuse me, the more kind of Wild West Native American style stuff. So he'll do like, you know, Skinner knives with leather sheaths with, you know, dangly beads and stuff hanging from it.
Right.
And he's done a bunch of Gunstock War Clubs over the years as well. So check out James on Instagram. Again, that's wasteland_forge on Instagram. He's got some really great work. It's just, he's just a really good dude. Like I've messed with him a couple times. But he does some really cool stuff and has made some really awesome Gunstock War Clubs over the years. So check him out, go give him a follow, see what he does. And if you're interested in seeing what we're making, you know, see some variety of what he's done in the Gunstock War Club, you can see that there.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah.
My recommendation is Workbench Con. go on down to that. It's going to be good.
$700.
It's only $2,000 this year. No, I am going to be slightly cheap because last week I was or 2 weeks ago. Oh man, because I hadn't seen them or played it last time. I'm going to re-recommend
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Or Hogwarts and Clarkson's Farm season 2. Isn't that what nobody said?
You did, yeah. So you're just re-recommending what we
I'm re-recommend because like... I'm updating my recommendation that I was right last time.
Okay.
Hogwarts, great game.
Like, oh, cool. Nice.
Totally open world, Harry Potter, fantasy stuff, like it's got it all. Like and the battle stuff is fun.
Nice.
Like all the spell stuff is great.
Yeah, Corinne's gonna get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you're into if you're into like open world games or fantasy or any of that stuff, it's great. Yeah. Even if you're not necessarily a like Harry Potter fan or that's before or after your time, or you're just not interested in it. But if you like games like that, it's great. Really fun. Nice. And then, Clarkson's Farm. I finished it.
Did you?
That's what I did. It's so good. It's just such a great show. Like, pro farming and funny and entertaining. And the cast of people, like the farmers, are just really good.
Nice.
You know, I mean, not cast. It's not written. There's only a few little bits and bobs where you can see, maybe they set something up.
Right.
But that's kind of like how Top Gear used to be. But majority of the time, the good bits are you can tell are like the real things that are happening. And the second season, actually, he's dealing a lot with trying to doing the farming, but also getting like a restaurant on his property and like the shop that they have there, which is a real shop that runs, and him like battling with the local council and all these people trying to get stuff done, and how much like red tape there is to get stuff done, and how expensive things are if they're like against you.
Right.
You know, they can just shut stuff down. But it's just a really good, really well done show.
Nice.
You know, basically about farming. But yeah, second season is just as good as the first one.
Nice. Yeah. Since you recommended it last time, I've heard a few different people recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like through the grapevine, like different people like, oh, you know, yeah, I've seen reviews, like they popped up. So,
and everyone has, I mean, everyone's got Amazon now.
Yeah. Right.
So go watch it. It's on Prime.
Yeah.
And now I guess there's like 8 episodes on both 2 seasons. See, dang. Man, you got
so much content.
Hours of awesome, beautiful English farm and funny things. And, and you actually kind of learn a lot about how things are done and why they're done and the really cool things and the really ridiculous things about farming. And it's great.
Nice.
So good.
That's cool. Well, there you go. Double recommendations.
Next week, I promise I won't recommend this.
I'm coming back. I'm saying it again.
I'm telling you.
It was great.
Watch it.
It's your third time around. If you haven't yet taken my recommendation, that's how serious Devin was.
That's right.
Nice. Sweet. All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad we're back. We are but working on getting some new, some other guests to come on podcast. We like to always mix it up every couple episodes, get a guest on. I think I really enjoy like our dialogue together. And then talking about what we're doing, like it's fun for me. And I think It's like what I like to listen to in other podcasts. It's kind of like the normal stuff, you know. It's like, yeah, I want to hear some stuff like from a person, but I also like to just, I like to hear more about people's lives and like learn them a little bit more. So I kind of like that about the podcast, but I also like to mix in the different stuff with the guests and stuff. So, so we have a couple, we have some good guests hopefully lined up, coming up soon. So keep your eyes out for that. And make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube and subscribe there. Check out our videos. So we have motorized bike. Yeah, that one's the most recent one, which has been super fun to ride around. I've been on it a bunch since we put out the video. And like I actually recently was looking at like helmets to order, like getting like an actual motorcycle helmet, you know, like so I could take it out on the road. And I have to get a front brake because I definitely want to make sure I have a front brake as well as the coaster brake on the back. And and also looking into like the generator powered headlights, because that's kind of cool too. So I know there's like a hookup for the headlight, so I wonder if there's like a, it's just the engine electricity, like I guess electricity is built up by the engine. I don't know, you know, like what is the, I don't know. So within the kit, there's like, when we put the whole wiring harness together, there's like an empty one that says this is for a headlight. But I don't know what that means. Does that mean that like the headlight is run off of the engine? Is there electricity that's, I mean, I guess there is, I don't know.
It can be, but, it just depends.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that like one of them is like the kill switch for the throttle, and the the throttle cable is going right into the carburetor, not into the electric. So I don't know, but yeah, so I'm looking into getting that and getting some, another cool thing I'd like to do is to do a video on making a, like a leather under the seat bag, like a little tool carrier bag. It hangs under the back seat, or hangs under the seat right behind. There's a little like circular leather bag thing that you can kind of unlatch and open up with it still attached, and keep in there like an extra spark plug and, you know, an adjustable wrench and, you know, whatever, like a few things that you would keep on the bike. That way, if for some reason something happened along the way, I could, you know, like, you know, take the wheel off and, you know, reattach a chain, things like that. You know, things that you'd want to have on a motorcycle or whatever, so you're not stranded somewhere. That'd be a fun video. It's been fun. Make sure you guys don't forget to head over to Instagram. Follow both Devin and I at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to support the channel and the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com and follow us there and support us. Everyone who supports us over at patreon.com gets access to the Discord, which we've actually been posting pictures and chatting with our patrons today once we started filming the new video. So if you want to have some access that way and support us further, if you feel like that's what you want to do, you can always do that. The other thing that you can do, which I don't stress enough, is to like give us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And if you're listening to us, then you have a phone or whatever it is nearby. So you can do it right now while you're listening, like open it up and go 5 stars. Cause I think there are only 19 reviews for the 120 episodes that we've done, and, or 19, you know, ratings. And that's crazy. Like, I know we've said it a couple times before, but really that does make a difference. It really like helps push, like the different platforms will push us out there further to more people and we'll get more listeners. And that's what we want, right? We want to kind of connect with more people. So if you're listening and you haven't given us a rating on, if it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever it is, like, and you can write a review, that goes a long way. So
have you ever given a rating?
I have. Yeah, I've rate. Yeah, almost all of the podcasts that I listen to that I like, I rate, and I'll try. I also try to write reviews sometimes.
That's nice. Yeah, I don't think I've ever getting a rating, but
well, don't be like Devin. Be like me, or you can be like Devin and don't give anybody a rating except for us right now while you're listening to the podcast.
That's right. I'll go give us a rating too.
So, however many, you know, maybe average of 120 to 300 people that listen to this each week, all of you guys, you could just go right now and just give us a, even if you just hit the stars, just hit the stars. I know at least like 80% of you are on an iPhone, and so you have Apple Podcasts. So everyone's gonna be like, oh, I'm on an Android. You're never getting a review from me. All right, everybody. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. That's really what makes it fun for us. We like to reach out and, you know, stay part of the community. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.